Yes, welcome back, everyone. Thank you for listening. We have another awesome FT After Hours podcast here. With us in the studio, we have Mike Coolins.
Hello.
Wayne Griffith.
Hi, guys.
And joining us on the line, Andre Russo.
Hello, hello.
And our special guest here tonight from Malte RC, one of my favorite guys that I've been talking to here in the last couple months, Mark Lehman.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
How you doing,
hey.
Mark?
I'm doing good. I appreciate the opportunity to be on here with you guys.
Yeah, no problem. We're really happy to have you. Now, I'll just give you a little bit of background here. Mark and I have been texting back and forth probably, what do you think, Mark, the last couple months, I'd say. And obviously, you are the co-owner, correct me if I'm wrong, but the co-owner of Malte RC.
That would and, be correct.
And you are branching out and starting to, or actually you have some designs out, but you are now designing some different type of copters, whether it be hexacopter, quadcopters, and now you're kind of getting more into the, I want to say, like the tough, durable, maybe indestructible type quads. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm not going to go that far out. Indestructible,
but rugged, for sure.
It's pretty tough.
Yeah.
We did have a guy here just very recently from the Mini Quad Club on Facebook, Ben C. He sent in a video of him breaking one, flying through a metal, I don't know, a schoolyard, what it was, a playground, but it was a metal swing set, and he hit the post, and it wasn't, you know, one of those hits where you hit a post and you kind of glance off to the side. He hit and it bounced back about 10 feet.
Ooh.
And he broke the G10 top plate right around the screw that goes into the standoff. He broke a little bit there. So we went ahead and got him his parts and got him in the mail to him.
He put a true stress test on that.
Now, let me just you know, let everybody know why I called up Mark and I wanted to get him on the program, because Mark's one of those guys, after I talked to him a little bit, I sensed he has a passion for the hobby. And, you know, we get some requests of people go, hey, I want you to send this. Can you review this or check this out or whatever? And the first few times I talked to Mark and he was telling me he's starting to build some, you know, hexacopter and some quadcopters and stuff, he's like, hey, I just want to send you some stuff out, put it together, fly the crap out of it, and tell me what you think. You know, he wasn't asking for a review or, you know, to hype up his company or anything like that. He was just like, tell us what you think. What do you like about it? Yeah, what's wrong? What you don't like? What, you know? And so the more I talked to him and seen, you know, some other stuff that he was doing, and I realized real quick that he's very passionate, you know, about the hobby. And from my understanding, Mark, you really haven't been in this very long, have you?
No. Sean and I started flying a little over a year ago, and it was actually flight test that got us going, because, you know, I mean, you look years ago and the only way to fly was to get a balsa plane and go and put it up in the air and hope you did okay.
Mm-hmm.
And flight test, you know, they basically took the pucker factor out of flying an airplane. You don't have to worry about it. You crash, it's a couple dollars worth of foam, not a big deal.
Yep.
You know, you just go rebuild and put it back in the air. And so when we started, you know, kind of getting into the design stuff, we liked the direction that flight test is taken in getting people into the hobby, you know, and giving people the ability to take, you know, father and son or father and daughter, you know, mother, whoever. You know, and go out there and fly and have fun and not have to worry about busting stuff up. And I've played around with some of the, you know, some of the other quads that are out there. And, you know, I had never flown a mini quad prior to building one. Mm-hmm. We had flown the flight test Batbone, and that was it. Other than that, it was just foam airplanes. And when we started designing this, it was kind of, you know, we were looking for something simple, something we could design and not cost a lot so that we could offer it at a really good price. We try to price things like, you know, kind of with a mindset of what would we want to pay for that? What would we expect to pay for something like that? And, you know, we've got a quad here now that, you know, you can get into it fairly inexpensively, and you don't have to worry about crashing it so much. I mean, it can take a pretty decent hit.
Right. Now, before we get too much into you know, the main quad that we're here to talk about, but my thing is, Mark, you know, with all the competition out there and companies like Hobby King that are pumping out quadcopters like on a daily basis, what made you say, you know what, I think we can do this and we can do it at better and at a competitive price and just go for it? What was the idea behind that?
Well, I don't know. I never really want to go into anything, you know, with an arrogant attitude of I can do it better than somebody else. I believe that everybody has their own thing that, you know, their own flavor that they like. The main thing is, you know, Sean and I, we're not out to try and get rich on this. We want, you know, make a little bit of money, put a couple of dollars in our pocket. That's great.
Right.
But more than that, it's just getting people involved in the hobby and helping to, you know, get people interested in it and try to help educate them. You know, there's so much out there right now that people don't understand, you know, what these things are capable of. And there's the media has got everybody scared of them. And if we can get somebody, you know, something like this that we can just hand the transmitter to somebody and say, here, you know, give it a try. See what it's about.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, and just let them fly it.
Right. So as you started going and you were getting multi-RC going and everything, what were some of the big what were the problems you were running into, you know, starting to build frames and putting them together? Were there some hurdles that you were, you know, had to get over?
Yeah, I mean, neither one of us have any engineering experience. Neither one of us have any CNC experience.
Wow. So you really just jumped in. I mean, there's sharks in the water, and you guys just dove in and went for it. I mean, that's crazy. I mean, I commend you for it.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I couldn't do it. You know, there's no way. But, I mean, that's phenomenal.
Yeah, we bought a turnkey CNC, you know, Cam Master Stinger, and just, you know, I mean, it was expensive. It was expensive to get into and get started. Once we bought that, we were pretty short on funds. We ended up having, after getting the CNC to start out with materials, we started off with about $500 and started buying material, and we sold some stuff, and every bit of that went right back into buying more material. And that's just where we've been, you know, just kind of everything we make goes back into, you know, back into the company. And we're at a point now where we've got everything that we need to put one in the air, short of the FPV gear. You know, you got to have your own VTX and camera, you know, motors, flight control board. We got all of that to get the quad up flying. So it's been, been a kind of a bumpy road. And there has been some stuff that we've had to overcome. I'm at the point now where I've quit, you know, anything other than, you know, the only thing I'm doing now for work is multi-RC. I've quit everything else.
Wow.
Wow.
I mean, you really took the dive now. Yeah. No kidding.
Yeah. It's a nail biter. No doubt. It's, you know, it's a scary prospect, but you know, if it's going to happen, you know, if it's going to work and it's going to happen, this is really the only way to do it.
If you don't mind me asking, what was your job prior to focusing everything into this? Just out of curiosity.
Well, we would tear down old barns and
reuse the lumber and things.
Reuse the lumber, yes. Making reclaimed furniture and reclaimed flooring.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I know about that. I'm in the demolition business. So.
Yeah.
There you go.
Wow. So
it's a little bit of a change of pace, really.
Yeah, no kidding. Now, did you guys just really have to sit down and say, well, we're going to try to get most of our supplies here in the States, or did you realize that wasn't going to work, or are you getting, like, where most people are getting everything, you know, shipped over from China, or how's that working?
Well, I mean, obviously the motors and ESCs and stuff like that, it's really, really hard to source any of that in the U.S. There are a couple of companies. Getting in with those companies is very difficult, and it is very, very expensive.
Right.
As far as the materials go, the screws and standoffs and all of that, we try to get everything you know, all of our materials in the U.S. that we can. The like the one quad that we're talking about, you know, today is the HMB is the HDPE, the main plate that that's made out of, is actually manufactured right here in Michigan.
Oh, wow. It's
about an hour and a half up the road from us.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to go with local companies, you know, everything as close to home as we can. It does cost a little bit more to produce stuff when you're buying stuff, you know, everything right here close. But to me, it's worth it.
Mm-hmm. All right, now take us through the process a little bit. You finally realize, you know, okay, we're gonna build a copter. This is what we're gonna do. Maybe I think you had a few designs out there for a little while, and you kind of finally built something you thought, you know, people were gonna like. Then what do you do now? Do you, you know, just start showing up at some events, let people fly it, word of mouth? How do you start to, you know, get it out there?
Well, we've been talking with the guys over at the CrashCast.
Mm-hmm.
We've been talking with them quite a bit, and they've done a, you know, bang up job. I mean, they put our name out there all the time. Amazing guys. And we try to kind of align ourselves with companies that we can look at and say, you know what, we respect them. We like the direction they're going. We like how they handle themselves in person as well as on social media.
Mm-hmm.
We've already got a UK dealer, over at 4props.com, over in the UK.
Oh, that's awesome.
And, we at Flight Fest, we met up with some amazing guys there, Stone Blue Airlines.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yep.
And they're selling our frame now, too. And just some amazing guys. They're willing. They understand we're a small company just getting started out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're working with us and helping to get our name out there, helping to get our product out there. And that's, you know, West Michigan Park Flyers.
Yeah, yeah.
They're going to be selling our frames now, too.
Oh, no kidding. Wow.
You know, they live just down the road from us. Greg and Barb are amazing people. They're very giving, wonderful people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the kind of people we're trying to, you know, kind of trying to be around, and we like being a part of that.
Right.
It's for us, like I said, it's about getting people into the hobby. As far as where we're headed, we've been talking a little bit with a company that they produce, well, it's the Vector, Eagle Tree.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And we're working on a quad right now for them, designing around their Eagle Tree Vector.
Okay.
And trying to put something together, and hopefully that's going to work out to be a good partnership there, too.
Oh, that's, yeah, I love Eagle Tree stuff. They make mm-hmm. top-notch quality stuff, yes. You know.
A lot of it is just kind of, it comes down to really me being as persistent as I am. I mean, how much did I bug you? Like, Chris, no, really, check this out, dude.
Yeah, you know, and I got to commend you for that because, again, you know, we get a lot of requests and, you know, try this, do that, and blah, blah, blah. And you were very adamant and, you know, not that it bothered me. You know, I like that because obviously very passionate and you felt like you had a good product out there. So, I'm glad you did that.
Is this the one where he said, like, you basically know, bash on it?
Yes.
Josh's son.
Yeah.
I didn't see this in flight, but I saw people holding the kits that he must have gave to them or whatever.
Yeah,
we're saying, hey, you're gonna put this through the paces type of thing and let me know what's going on here.
Yeah, and we're gonna talk about that here in a minute.
Okay, I didn't mean to jump ahead.
No, that's okay.
That's awesome.
So once you got it, a few of your products out there, I think I remember correctly you were saying that you did actually kind of go around to some different flying events and just said, hey, this is what we're doing, fly it, tell us what you think, and you know, that got the ball rolling, didn't it?
Yeah, the very first event that we went to as a vendor was CEF. And Georgia is extremely hot that time of the year,
mm-hmm.
coming from Michigan to there, and holy crap. but yeah, I mean, people would come up and they'd, you know, they'd ask questions, you know, what's this thing made of? What's, you know, it looks heavy. Because to look at it, it's a very unassuming quad.
Mm-hmm.
It looks heavy. It looks bulky. It looks clunky. It looks weird because it's got the roll cage on the top.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just looks weird. And so, you know, it was always, hand him the transmitter and, you know, here's my Trannis, go fly it. Oh, no, no, I can't. No, seriously, you're not going to break it. It wouldn't
take it. So no one would believe that statement either, you know. You're not going to break it. Anybody that's flown even a little bit knows most things are breaking. Yeah, so to hear that, kind of shock. It's a shock type effect.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not that you can't break
Sure, but if you're, like I mean, you said, it's really rugged, though, from what people are used to, obviously. Yeah. There's no doubt about that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's more the adults than it is the little kids.
Sure.
And that was very evident at Flight Fest. The adults were, you know,
hesitant.
I don't know.
Yeah.
You
know, well, they know the blood, sweat, and tears on some of these projects.
Yeah,
too,
where the kids are kids like, "Ah, fly it, give it to me."
I see that in here. Yeah, let me do it now.
Like, right. The kids are like, "Yeah, you can't break it, right?"
Like, yes. That was great.
And for me, that makes my day right there. Just to see a kid flying and, getting into it, just cut loose. And we had quite a few people at Flight Fest that had never flown anything except for stabilization, and we're like, what?
Yeah, see, yeah, because
exactly.
That's great. Yeah, I mean, they'd be like, oh no way, if it ain't self-load, you know. But with this thing, if you know want to really go in acro mode and see what it's really like.
Oh man, and I'm still fighting the tilting come back towards myself. I was like, I definitely put it through its paces. I wish I'd have ran into you, because I'd be like, let me add it. I'm sure I could wreck it.
Yeah. Well, the cool part about this thing is the fact that, you know, yeah, you have guys who try to destroy it. You know, they, you know, running it into a pole and bouncing back the way it did.
But the people that want to learn maneuvers and have accidents.
Normal people flying, you know what, you're not going to hurt this thing. Just, you know, not a normal person's going to go flying, you know.
To slam it a brick wall.
Right. I mean, you know. I mean, we've seen that at Flight Fest, you know, take it 50 feet up and drop it straight into the ground, and all it does is bounce, and you get it back up in the air again. So
right. And before we get too far, I think what we ought to do, too, is one thing, the main quad we're really talking about is your HMB 235.
I think I know where you're going.
And your website is multirc.com. Now, if I remember correctly, you guys were trying to come up with a name for this thing, and I think you were taking names on Facebook. Is that right?
Yeah, we had talked to, like I said, we spent a lot of time talking to Crash Hancock and, and all the hosts over there at the Crash Cast, and we were kind of, you know, batting ideas around, and Sean and I were like, well, you know what? Let's do a giveaway. We'll give a frame away. Somebody comes up with a name for it, and we'll let everybody on, you know, and we'll let everybody on Facebook vote on it. We didn't want to have any part of it and have anybody be able to say, well, you kind of picked that person because you like them. We let everybody that had been looking at it and checking it out, we let them all decide this is what it's going to be named. And there was a few pretty good names in there, and that was the one that won out.
This is great.
We have we've PG-13 the name.
Oh, right. I heard the one that was spreading like wildfire. I didn't even know who you were, but I knew what HMB stood for in life. So at least one that I heard.
And of course, so we are the after hour, so we're going to let everybody know that HMB stands for Hold My Beer 235, right?
That is correct.
Yes. Perfect. Which I think it's kind of funny.
I lost it when I heard that. It's like, I can just visualize you handing someone a transmitter and they're handing you their, you know, it was great. Here, you fly this. I'll hold your beer in the meantime type of effect. And I swear this acronym spread like wildfire. I heard it a couple different times. I'm like, I know what it means. Now I'm on the end. You know, it was great.
Was
I really enjoyed
funny.
The name of that.
Yeah, the name kind of came from, you know, them guys will, at CEF, they really cut loose. They have a blast.
Uh-huh.
There's some adult beverages involved, and they'll come up with this crazy, goofy idea, and it'll always end up being, here, hold my beer.
Yeah.
Idea. And they named it that because this is a quad that you can do that with, and it'll live.
Yeah, right. Wow. Mark, you got to talk a little bit. You were telling me the story of a gentleman. I can't remember his name. There was some videos you guys posted online about, you know, they were showing the HMB smashing into a, what was it, a pallet, I believe. And a guy, I think he wrote in and said, well, you know, the pallet was moving and blah, blah, blah. So you tell the story about what you did after that.
Well, there's a video out there that our UK dealer had put out showing the durability of this quad, because he got a few of them from us and he put one together and he's like, well, let's put it to the test. So he props a wooden pallet up and he's flying this thing repeatedly, and it sounds, when you take the music away and just watch the raw video, you can hear this thing hitting. It sounds like somebody hitting it with a baseball bat. It's insane. Chunks of pallet are flying off from it. And a fellow that and I got the chance to meet up with him. He's a great guy, Chuck Durham. And we met up with him at Flight Fest. He spent a ton of time around us. You know, he was kind of instrumental in getting us involved with Stone Blue. And getting us over there talking to them guys, and he was, you know, pushing everybody come down and check it out. Hey, go fly this thing. He's a really good guy, and I really like him. But the first interaction that we had with Chuck was he posts on this video on YouTube, and he's like, well, the pallet's moving. You know, it's not like, you know, you're hitting a tree or a brick wall or, and I'm like, okay, challenge accepted. So we were going to put one together with, you know, just some inexpensive motors and, you know, some cheaper gear. And then we hadn't had time. And I was like, you know what? We say that this thing will protect your gear and everything. So why not show that we're going to leave our good gear on there? So we got Cobra motors and our
Breaking my heart thinking of that scenario.
So we take it and we go into town, and there's a building up there that we know the owner, and he was okay with us filming right there, and he knew what we were going to do. So we had pavement on the ground and a brick wall, and we stuck a battery on there, full charged battery, and repeatedly flew it into the brick wall, and we'd take it up 50, 60 feet and just cut the throttle and let it come in any which way it was going to come in. It didn't matter. And we bent some props. The entire video, we went with one set of props, the DAL 5x4s that we sell.
Mm-hmm.
Are these the flexible props that you were referring to last podcast? Okay.
Yeah. That's the one that we had on it at Flight Fest.
Okay.
Chris bent. And you just bend them back straight.
That's amazing.
You know, you go flying again. And so that's, we bent some arms, and of course you just flex them and bend them back.
I needed to get more exposure to this. If I was sleeping or what, I don't know, but I would have loved to see some of these things. Oh my gosh, I got to meet this guy.
Dude, I was hoping to meet Mike at
Flight
Fest. I wanted to get him flying.
Oh man, mm-hmm. I missed out.
You might have lost the quad.
Yeah, does this have a tree avoidance system yet? I'm teasing.
No, it does have a built-in lost aircraft alarm. That's why I was okay with it getting put up in the combat over the bean field. It didn't matter where it went down. We were going to find it.
Oh man, that's great. So, I definitely missed on this exposure for sure.
The way I always put it with this quad, Mike, is if you want to fly it, if you're under 200 feet and you start to lose, you know, orientation, just hit the throttle kill or, you know, the arming switch, and it'll disarm and it'll drop out of the sky. That's its return to home. And if you're over 200 feet, just hit the throttle kill and it'll drop and it'll return to home. I've never had one fall out of the sky and land on, well, anything and break.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's
that's a true testament to this product for sure.
And we're gonna,
stories.
Yeah. And so you accepted the challenge and you were smashing it into the brick wall and smashing it into the pavement. And I think really the only thing, you might have bent up a few screws or something, but the basic platform really survived well and no damage, correct?
Yeah, I mean, we were still flying it. I mean, half the time it'd bounce off the brick wall, it'd land right side up, just pop it back up in the air and go again.
Wow, that's amazing. Okay, so that kind of...
I have to backtrack because I said no one really intentionally flies into brick walls, and then I find out the guy I'm talking to on the other end did some stress testing that way.
we did find there are two ways to break an arm on one of these, and
I was ask Bixler about that. I'm teasing.
Did he break it? No.
I was gonna say.
No, I'm talking about his physical arm.
Yeah, there was a guy saying that he thought the arms could break, so I took a big chunk of wood, mm-hmm. put the main plate on the wood with the arms sticking out, and set a cinder block on top of that, and then took an 8-pound sledgehammer and repeatedly hit the arm. and it would bend it would mar it up a little bit, but nothing I couldn't bend it back straight. The only time the arm failed is when I flipped the maul over the other way and used a sharp edge, and it cut it off. And the other way is Sean found that if you bend them 180 degrees and then bend them back around 360 degrees and back and forth, if you do that about 4 or 5 times, you will break an arm.
But that's never, flying it that lightweight, that's never.
You're putting it through its paces, let me tell you.
That's never going to happen. Yeah. I don't even think Andre could break an arm, yeah?
I don't know.
This reminds me of my dad and his monster maul that said it was indestructible. It's a welded piece of metal, and he ended up driving over the tractor, and it finally one day broke. And this is after years of service and abuse and everything else. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. But yeah, it sounds like your product's built like a real tank, man. That is awesome.
Yeah, we tried to make. I mean, when we built it, we didn't expect it to be this tough. Honestly, I mean, we knew it was going to be tough because the HDPE. That's not originally our idea. That as far as I know, the first person to do that is Mike Hancock, and he built his OPQ, and. We wanted to make something that was, you could FPV it. It looked like a normal-ish quad.
Mm-hmm.
So we took that idea and ran with it and just designed, kind of a normal-looking quad. It's not really, but sort of.
Yeah.
Out of the same material.
So the HDPE, that isn't something that you were going through some materials and happened to say, hey, let's try this. You were kind of aware of it before then.
Yeah, we were, and... Originally, we were starting out, and you and Wayne have got one of the quads. We started out, like I said, we were brand new to this. We had never flown a mini quad at all, never put one in the air, never touched one before we designed one. And we were not sure what we wanted. And I'm kind of ADD and
mm-hmm.
all over the place. So I'm like, okay, let's build a quad and a tricopter and a hexcopter, and so we just started kind of throwing stuff in there, and we're like, you know what, we can do this. Kind of inspiration from flight test again is, the Electra Hub, where it can be just about anything, and so that's what we went for, and we made one, and you guys have got one, I think, set up as a hex, sitting there somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we send that stuff out. We're not asking somebody to do a review. Honestly, when we send stuff out, the main thing that we're looking for is the negatives.
Mm-hmm.
We want to know what's wrong. I'm not looking for somebody to say, oh, this thing is amazing. And no, tell me what's wrong with it. What can I do better? What can I change? We try to listen to people. They'll send us emails and they'll send us ideas. And, they'll let us know, hey, I'd like to see this and maybe a little of that. And so we try to do that.
Right.
I mean, that's what these products are for. They're not for me. They're for everybody else.
Yeah. And originally when you started too, you were just building and selling frames. From my understanding now though, I know for a fact, cause I bought some electronics of it. You actually can order them with everything.
Complete.
Yeah. Right.
Yes. Everything save the receiver. We
receiver and transmitter.
Yeah.
Yep. It's receiver ready. It doesn't have the FPV gear on it, no camera or video TX, but everything to put it up in the air and fly it.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll put one together, and they start out depending on the motor that you want on it, because we carry three different motors now. Depending on the motor you want on it, they start out at 275.
Okay. Yeah, it was. I got some electronics off of you, and
that sounds very reasonable.
Yeah,
price.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I and also noticed another frame measure. Is it Evo? Am I looking at the webpage?
Yes.
Oh, that's
Evo. Okay. That's, it's got the name the Evo because it can evolve. It can be a hex. It can be everything from a 250 quad up to a 290 or 300 quad. It can be a tricopter. It can be what do you guys call that? The dragonfly.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That started off with one of the hosts on the Crashcast. He took a simple copter frame and he set it up with five motors.
Oh wow.
It's weird looking and crazy, and so I'm like, you know what, we'll make it so the Mini can do that too. And he's got one that he's got set up as a dragonfly, or he calls it a quint.
Uh-huh.
For five motors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, I got a question for you real
quick. All of the different sizes all throughout it, so it can evolve to whatever you want to fly. And, mm-hmm. and that was the one we designed because, like I said, I'm ADD. I didn't know what I wanted. So let's make one that can be whatever I want to make it today.
Right. Hey, just a quick question. I was curious, you know, when you decide to do this and you got some products out there, were people pretty open to you and accept, you know, what you were doing and willing to help you and things like that when you were trying to get your product out there?
I've never really, it's crazy to me. This is the only thing I've ever done where you can go and talk to one of your competitors and they're not really competitors.
Uh-huh.
We all help each other out.
Yeah.
And it is amazing. I love the atmosphere. I just, you know, Sean, him and I, we used to be into the cars, you know, go to the track and race, and everybody is so competitive, and it's like, no, you can't know what my setup is.
Yeah.
You get into the flight side of RC, and it's like, oh, yeah, you want to know what my setup is? Check it out.
That's
what I got. And it's amazing. I love the way people are in this hobby, and we started off, you know, seeing the FPV on the backbone, and we're like, you know what, we want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we started kind of leaning that way and started getting into the airplanes and kind of learning how to fly and, you know, watching flight tests all the time, listening to podcasts, you guys and the Crashcast and, you know, a bunch of other ones. And as we went along, we're like, you know what, I think we can do this. And so we started talking to some people, and they're like very positive to our ideas. And, you know, I'm really humbled by the response that we got from people and the fact that people think we come up with some pretty good ideas, and, you know, they give us compliments on our stuff. And it's like, is it really that good? You know, I try not to brag about anything, yeah. But it's hard not to brag about this HMB at this point. I mean, it's proven itself.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
No. Yeah. And that kind of brings me up to, I think, our next point here is finally Flight Fest rolls around, Mark. And I think you got there, I believe, on Saturday, correct? Or maybe it was, Friday, actually, yeah.
Yeah, we got there Friday.
And I finally got to meet you. I had no idea what you look like or anything. I think I just walked up and I said, I'm looking for Mark. And he goes, I'm Mark. Oh, fantastic.
Yep. And I recognized the voice right off. You and Wayne both. And it was a pleasure to get to meet you guys. I wish we could have spent more time, you know, hanging out with you and Wayne and the whole Flight Test family. And, you know, I was looking forward to meeting Mike. I'm not sure why he wasn't there.
I can't figure it Mike out
sleeps,
for the life of
me. Mike sleeps in a lot. Yeah. He comes wandering in mid-afternoon. And how long have you been here?
And Wayne's like, oh, yeah. 6 or 7. I'm like, what?
And next year, if you can't find Mike, you walk right down from where you were, Mark, to the ice cream truck.
Stand. Yeah, yeah.
You'll find Mike down there with one in each hand. It's milk and honey. He'll be right there.
That stuff is like heroin, man. It is so addictive. You eat one, you're going to have more. I've never done heroin, mind you, but it's addictive, to say the least. And he always says the first one's free, and I know why he says that.
Yeah, because he knows you'll be back.
Because he knows he's going to get more than his money out of me after it's all said and done.
I didn't I didn't think I was going to have to look that hard for Mike. I'd be able to hear him from a distance.
Yeah. Well, that's what's funny. That in our last podcast, you said I was drawing people from like a couple yards away.
Oh, yeah, yeah. People would come right over.
Like, I know that.
We heard Mike. Where's he at? We heard Mike.
Mike, where you at, buddy?
Yeah, it was pretty.
Very infectious laugh.
I hope so, because otherwise I'm offending a lot of people, and I try not to.
No, it's great, man.
So the crazy thing was, Mark and I, we just started walking around. Mark just grabs the HMB and his controller and just, you know, walks around asking people just to, you know, fly it. And the initial reaction was like, anybody else like, well, I don't know. You know, Mark would try to talk. Don't worry about it. You're not going to hurt it. So the funny thing was, he's like, you know what? I'd really like to see Mikey Bixler fly this. Sure. I'm like, let's go find Mikey Bixler. So we search around a little bit. Sure enough, there he was out the flight line flying something, you know, crashing. And I said, Mike, come here. And he comes over and I said, see this little quad right here? This gentleman here, Mark Lehman, he says it's indestructible and you can't break it. Well, if you could have seen the look on Mikey's face, he literally looked at me and looked at the quad like, yeah, okay, let's go right now. So
he had that look of challenge accepted.
Yeah, it was, I mean, he had no doubt. So, you know, here he goes, takes this thing up, and he's, you know, instantly – the thing that amazed me too is it did fly, and I flew it later, and I'll talk about that. But it flew amazing. I mean, instantly Mike was doing rolls, flips, up, down. I mean, just instantly he
putting
he,
it through
through the paces, and he was very comfortable with it. So Mark's trying to tell him, you know what? Smash it into the ground. You roll it upside down, smash it into the ground. So he's rolling it inverted, smash it. And if it, you know, landed with the props up, he'd just take back off. Well, a couple of times he just looked back at me like, I can't believe it just did that. So Mark's like, go higher, go up a couple hundred feet and shut it down, you know. And Mike's like, really? You want me to do it? So he did. He'd go up a couple hundred feet, shut it down. I mean, this thing just comes out of the sky like a rocket. And it must have bounced 5 feet, landed on right side. Mike hit the throttle, off he went again. He couldn't, he was like, this is unbelievable.
That boy was grinning from ear to ear, man. I tell you what, that was so funny. That kid couldn't stop grinning.
Yeah.
Saturday night, he was sitting there by the fire with he had the frame that you guys passed him, and he was pounding it into the ground and going, see this thing is indestructible. Yeah. Smacking the ground by the fire with it. I'm like, what is that? It's his frame, and he's bending the arms, and he told me that whole story, Chris, and I'm like, that is so cool.
I mean, it was the funniest thing to see the look on his face. So then after that, what we were trying to do is get Alex to – we had a combat coming up, and we wanted Alex to fly a combat, which initially he said, yeah, no problem, but I think he got busy or whatever, and we couldn't find him. So when the combat comes up, we asked Mike, why don't you just fly this in the combat? He's like, yeah, absolutely, I'll fly it in the combat. So he did. He flew it in the combat and did pretty well. I can't remember what happened, Mark. He did finally – it crashed, but what did happen?
Well, initially, people were kind of trying to avoid it, and Mike was just kind of trying to hover in the middle of the, you know, trying to stay in the middle of the swarm, and just, you know, he really didn't want to try and chase anybody around, because it's a tiny quad.
Yeah.
You get up there, and you got all that business going on, and it's hard to keep orientation, so he was just kind of hovering, staying there, and Alex comes up and sees Mikey, and he goes over, and he grabs the mic, and he tells everybody that's in the combat that there's a prize for the first person to hit it. So now the swarm is like after it. And that balled everybody up. So everybody's hitting everybody. And finally, one of the wings hit the HMB, and it dropped. And everybody thought, yep, there it goes. And it dropped way down. And Mikey just slams the throttle. I told him, I said, just punch it. It'll recover. And he just slams throttle, and it goes back up, and the whole crowd cheers. Mikey just smiling. I mean, the grin, he's just glowing.
Oh, yeah.
And that made my day right there. I mean, just seeing that little guy smile and have so much fun with it. And he goes back up, and then he gets the cargo plane, cuts the vertical stab off the back, cuts that right, I mean, almost completely off. Gets a couple more planes, and finally, I don't know who it was, I tried to find him after the chaos and madness. Finally, one of the Versa wings hits him and just gets a nice hit right dead center on the quad, and folded one of the props down 90 degrees. So that motor can't turn anymore, and it pops out of the sky out into the bean field. Well, by then, he'd been in the air for pretty much the entire battery anyway.
Right, sure. Right.
And And I know this because when we went and found the quad, he had Bixlered my battery. it was a brand new 4-cell.
Oh, man.
You know, 1800 battery. And it's like, you know what? Cool.
Yeah.
Well, his last name is Bixler. Yeah.
Exactly. He, the little Bixlered my battery.
So
it was fun. And we had a good time. We went out, we changed out the battery, bent the prop back straight, popped it up into a hover, and flew it around.
Wow. Now, besides Mikey, I know you're kind of walking up and down the flight line. Did you actually get some other volunteers to take it out and beat on it a little bit?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there was quite a few. A lot of the younger kids, they were definitely up for the challenge. We had a battery on the charger at all times charging up. And as soon as that thing was charged up, we'd throw it in and we'd go look for somebody, put another one out, you know, kept one on the charger at all times while we're out burning one up.
Right.
Then we come back, grab the other one, go out, walk again. We didn't really spend a lot of time at the booth. I mean, we weren't really there so much to sell. We were there to try and get people interested in it. And, you know, there was a few people that we were blessed enough to be able to talk with, and, you know, a father trying to get his son into it, or a son wanting to do it, but his father's, I got this Vortex and I don't know. Well, here, let him go fly this then.
Yeah.
He's never flown a quad. Yeah, it's all right. You ain't gonna hurt it. They take it out and they fly it. And there was a few of them that were a little bit scared. And so Sean would go out and he'd pop it up, and flip it over and smack it into the ground and say, you can't do any worse than that, right?
Right. So,
go ahead and fly, and they take it, and then they go fly, and they'd have a blast. And I kept trying. I'm like, trying to get Alex down there to fly it, he flew it once.
Uh-huh.
I flew it around a little bit. He seemed a little surprised that it flew the way that it did.
Yeah,
it's the way that it looks.
Right, right.
We tried to get Austin down there to fly it. I challenged Peter to try and break it. And he's like, okay. And then I never seen him.
Yeah.
Get him to do it. And because everybody's like, oh, Peter can break it. All right. Come on, Peter. Let's go.
Did you run into Chad by any chance? Did you run into Chad Capper by any chance? I can't remember.
No, I didn't get the chance to shake hands with Chad or Josh. I met Josh. Our very first event that we went to was last year, Jonal. We'd been flying for about 2 months, and we went to Joe Null, and we got to meet Josh and Alex and Jen, and just instantly it was amazing. I mean, it was because they're so giving and they truly just want to get people involved and get them in the hobby, and that kind of that passion has overflowed. And kind of filled us up, and we want to do the same thing.
Sure.
We just want to get people involved and show them how enjoyable and how fun this can be.
Yeah. And, you know, that's kind of my one big gripes I always had with the copters, no matter what I had, is I enjoyed flying them, and we do fly them a little bit. Mike, you probably fly them more than anybody out of us. But it's the fact that when I did crash, you know, a lot of time I'd have to spend a couple hours, you know, changing the booms or motor mounts or whatever, and setting it back up and doing the props. And so after a while, you know, I might fly around my yard a little bit, but I wouldn't get crazy with it.
And that's what Chad, I was flying with him Saturday, and he I heard him hit the tree. I'm like, wow, that was a hard hit. He's like, that's the first time I ever broke an arm on whatever. I don't even know what model he has to even say, but he actually broke the arm that was real close to the motor. I'm not sure how he did it. He's like, that's the first time I ever did that. I'm like, well, gosh, I heard it, and I was probably 200 or 300 yards away, and I heard him hit that tree. But, yeah, he had to do a repair. He was using that flexible plastic stuff
heats
up, yep. And he put that blown around. It. But like you said, he had to do a repair, you know. I'm sure with this thing, he probably would have blown through it or wouldn't have had any damage.
And that was the first thing. I think Sean did a real brief demonstration where he just fired it up and was just rolling it over, smashing it into the ground. Like, even though he was only 5 or 6 feet, even to me, you know, when I first seen it, how impressive that was to where if you're just tooling around the yard, you know, trying to have fun, then you hit some or clip it.
Well, the props alone sound impressive to me.
Yeah, so. Exactly.
Oh, yeah, those new Secure Zone ones are pretty cool. I just picked up a set for my 250.
Oh, did you? Man, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, they out-survived my motor mounts last weekend, so I'm pleased.
we're waiting on our shipment right now. The DAL props, we're getting them direct from the manufacturer now, and nice. we're brand new. They just started making these. They're 5x4 or 5 blunt nose.
Excellent.
Blunt nose. Yeah. And they're supposed to be made out of the same material as the 5x4s. The 5x4s, they're not as efficient, but if you're just out bashing around, you're not out racing, you know, that's what you want is something durable.
Yeah.
It's quite
I'm going to have to look into those for sure.
Well, that's it. My gin fans, I would, you know, after a couple of flights, they'd either be cracked or they'd right at the hub, right? And so I got the new 5x4s. They're not the blunt nose. And I was immediately impressed because I was having liftoff issues, and I clipped the deck and everything else. And then I discovered I had shattered a motor mount, so my motor wasn't staying level on the back end of the quad. So, but all of a sudden, I think you've got a formula here now that, like you just said, that anybody who wants to get into multi-rotors can get into it, and they're not going to go through the frustration that we've all just described.
Yes.
Where you crack up a frame, you bend up an expensive frame.
Yeah.
And, I mean, look how the prices have suddenly dropped and everything, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. And finally, I guess I'll talk just briefly about my little flight experience with it, because I actually finally took it out after, you know, Mark was bugging me, and finally I was like, all right, I'll give it a shot. But it just happened to be a buddy of mine, Brian, showed up, and he's just getting into the RC and is fascinated by the quadcopters and everything, and right now he's flying the planes. And he's been through a few of the ominous little quadcopters and stuff, and kind of wanted to step up a little bit. But again, he's a little intimidated with, you know, building something and then putting that kind of money into it and, you know, going out and crashing it and blah, blah, blah. So I actually took him over to Mark's booth and was showing him. I said, you know, this is what you can get. It's very simple to put together. You're around $200. So a little bit more than what you're spending on an Ominous, but you're, you know, getting a
something that's going to hold up.
Yeah,
maybe to
hold up, and it's a regular RC real grade, you know, copter. So Mark's like, just take it out. Just go fly it and show him. I'm like, all right. So we finally went out to the flight line, and that was the first thing that really impressed me. Again, it isn't probably the nicest looking thing out there, which really to me looks, I don't really care anyway what it looks like. But the initial flight really kind of blew my mind, how stable it was, how it flew, I don't fly a lot, you know, get crazy, but instantly I was doing rolls with it, front, back, forward, left, right, anything I wanted to do. It was very, very crisp. Had the auto level on it. I mean, I was shocked at how well it did fly. So, of course, my buddy's Brian, well, let's see, you know, smashing into the ground. You know, he was all about it. So, again, I was just rolling it over, smashing it into the ground, back up, smashing it in the ground, dropping it down. Finally, I think I did a drop from, I don't know, 150 feet or so, and it bounced. I mean, it thing must have bounced 3 or 4 feet in the air. And we did that a few times because I wanted to see, well, okay, it landed right side up a few times. Let's get it upside down. Well, finally it stopped. And I'm like, ah, I broke it, you know. And we went out, picked it up, looked at it, and here, one of those props that were on there, and I thought, there's no way this thing's going to fly again. Somehow I got it to where it bent all the way around and went back up and stuck inside the motor. And I'm like, we're done. It's no more. We pulled it back out, bent it a little bit to halfway decent shape. Well, guess what? That sucker took right back off again, and I was cranking around. And my buddy's Brian, he's just like,
sold.
That is unbelievable.
Wow.
Yeah. So
did I miss all this excitement?
Ugh. Yeah,
dude, I'm telling you, I was hoping you'd be there.
Yeah, I was. That was a true testament. Actually, flying it myself and seeing everything else, I was just blown away by it.
Sounds astounding.
Yeah, it really is. So that, you know, that's why I wanted to have Mark on here, because I think he's got a product that he can really get some people into the hobby that are just, you know,
it's
going to
be an awesome learning tool. You know, I mean, if it can hold up, you can learn with it.
Exactly.
That's a huge factor.
I haven't done any rolls or anything with mine for exactly that reason. I'm terrified to bin it.
Exactly.
So here's a real question for you, Mark, then. How many frames did you go to Flight Fest with, and did you go home with all of them?
We did. We brought quite a few of them back home. We went down with...
you could have left one in my pocket. I would have made a trip to find you. Jeez.
I think we went down with around 50 frames, and we came back with probably half that.
Oh, okay. Well, still, that's...
But we wasn't really trying to push.
Yeah, you said you wasn't at the booth a whole lot. You wanted to get
mainly people
to feel.
Mainly, we were just trying to get people involved and get, you know, hey, check this thing out, you know, and at events like that, we knew because it's Flight Fest, you know, and we know that fathers and sons, fathers and daughters, we know that families are going to be there.
Exposure.
And that's really, you know, the main point to this quad is you know, new people that, and don't get me wrong, I we've got guys out there that are flying these and they're like good racing guys, you know, they're good quad pilots, but they don't want to beat up their good quad.
Right.
New maneuvers are trying to, hey, can I shoot that gap with a quad this size?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, you're not going to try that with your $300, you know, $400, $500 quad.
Yeah.
You're going to try that with this little guy that's, you know, just, it doesn't cost you a whole lot to get it up in the air and go fly it. And you can, you know, and you beat the crap out of it. And you're right, Chris. I mean, I'm one of the first ones to say that it is not the prettiest. It's kind of fat and clunky and goofy looking, but it flies. And it's proof that you do not have to be aerodynamic to fly a quad. It's not the fastest one. It's not the lightest one. I'm not even going to go out and say that it's the toughest one. But for the money, it's a decent value.
Oh, absolutely.
No, it almost sounds like it would hold up to, like, we were talking about search and rescue applications even, you know what I mean? It would hold up to the, you know, elements if you were to, if you're combing somewhere or hit something. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. It's pretty rugged.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, it's definitely rugged. I've never seen anything like that to where, you know, you could put it through that much abuse, especially... Was that the same? I think you really only had that one quad that you flew Friday and Saturday, and I mean, the abuse that thing must have went through in those 2 days was unbelievable.
Yeah, that's our second prototype since we started making these. The first one that went to Seth with us, it went all the way through, you know, Seth and getting beat up there, and I mean, everybody was flying it. It was great. And then we had Sci-Fi here in Michigan. It was an event that West Michigan Park Flyers and Sean and I kind of put together and got going. West Michigan Park Flyers kind of took lead on it, and Sean and I just helped where we could. And, you know, got the word of mouth out there about it and talked with people.
Huh.
And we got that going. We got some of the guys from Crash Cast up, and so everybody there got to fly and beat on the quad there, and then we did the brick wall video with it, and we finally retired that one. It was still flying, and all we had to do was replace a couple of screws, but we wanted one that was, you know, kind of nice looking again before we went to Flight Fest. So we put another one together, and we went down there, and we're still flying it here, still beating it up. Same motors. The only thing that's changed is a set of props. We finally got enough dings in them that we wanted to change them out.
Wow. Unbelievable.
So, yeah, the prop that you bent, we were still flying it for a couple of weeks.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Very cool.
That's great.
That is unreal. So, Andre, when are you ordering one?
Well, I'd like to get James on one of these things, but I got to get my motors back in for my current project, but jeez, kidding.
Right.
I mean, I don't race. My goal with my 250 is to be able to do some FPV around the backyard.
Yeah.
I haven't been able to do that this year, right? So it's like, oh. And it's funny because you had mentioned this, and it was one of those things. It's like my, unfortunately, I was so busy during Playfest, I never really got around to anything to look at them. But after I'm seeing it, I'm like, wow, I'm kicking myself for not having a chance to talk to you about it. So.
Yeah.
So I guess the big question for you, Mark, is what's next? Are you looking at some other smaller designs, larger designs?
Both, actually. We're looking at a design. The frame weight on it is going to be around 100 grams, and it'll be a 250 with 6-inch props. And the only thing that'll be in the prop wash is the 10-millimeter round boom. So far, doing R&D on these things, it's pretty peppy. We're trying to figure out a way to tame it down on 4-cell to get it to where we can actually fly it and hover. It's got enough power that you're such a low stick when you're trying to hover it.
Wow.
Crazy. We're designing a quad for Eagle Tree for their vector flight control. And that's going to be a modular design. There'll be, you know, the front will come off. If you got a GoPro, you put, you know, one set of, you know, gear on the front for the GoPro and your board cam. And if you've got a Mobius, you can pull that off, put a different tray on the front. And it's all modular. And we're designing in a servo tilt for that to be able to tilt the board cam and the recording cam, you know, as you fly forward. It'll tilt and stay level.
Oh, neat.
So you're not looking at the ground. And I mean, we've got a couple other designs we're working on. You know, as we go along, we're working on stuff that's going to end up being out there around 450 millimeters. Something more kind of geared towards air bears. I really like what they're doing. You know, and we want to be a part of that and design something big enough that you can throw, you know, some good motors on there, good, you know, large props, get a lot of flight time and be able to go out and do their search and figure things out.
Yeah, I think
there.
This would be a great platform for that kind of
kind of now you're things, talking. That's some good stuff there.
Yeah. Yeah. Big and heavy and can take the elements. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, if you need any cold weather testing, we know some.
Yes, hello? We do.
We'll be looking for some testers for some stuff. There's as popular as this HMB has become already, it looks like it's going to do pretty good. And so we're going to design some more, you know, we're going to throw together some more designs kind of along the same lines, made from the same material, where your gear all packs in and it's all protected and covered up.
That'd be great.
So you can't beat up the gear itself. And we want to do maybe a tricopter and maybe a hex to go along, you know, kind of with the same line. That way people can choose what they want.
Mm-hmm. Have you guys thought about it all? I'm sitting here kind of looking at a VersaCopter frame here of doing any integration, you know, for like the ESCs or anything or BECs and stuff.
Yeah, we're working on a design now for a power distribution board that's got Palolu's built right in for your 5-volt step down and your 12-volt step down. We're also kind of batting the idea around about having an actual, you know, the nays actually printed out on a different, you know, not the 30.5 millimeter, but on our frame.
Uh-huh.
Kind of like what David installed did with his tricopter.
Yep.
Because the design that we're looking at, you know, if it does well, it's kind of hard to get everything. You got to be pretty good at soldering to get everything to fit.
Yeah.
To get the nays and everything low profile enough to fit inside of this quadcopter. Because it's quite tiny. We're working on one right now. I was hoping to be able to meet up with Eric Monroe while we were there at Flight Fest. And kind of inspired by him, we've got a little 200 millimeter quadcopter that's got the 10 degrees of dihedral.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Wanted to kind of get his thoughts on that. So, yeah, if you guys are willing to test them out and give me feedback, I'm more than willing to you know, work with you guys as we got future releases coming out and you know, we'll stay in touch with you guys.
Sure.
You know, but I just, you know, like I said, I like getting the feedback and letting me know, hey, this needs to be improved. Or I'm not looking for anybody to stroke my ego.
Right. Well, I mean, your product, I mean, it's
that's a product.
It speaks for itself.
Exactly. Exactly.
And that's what we try to do is, you know, just get, you know, I kind of brag on it a little bit right now because I can tell stories of things that have happened.
Yeah.
That, you know, they're actually things that happened, and so it's not really
it's a true testament to the product. Yeah,
yeah.
But in the beginning, we just, you know, we put it out there and say, "Here, check this out."
Yeah.
At Ceph, Carl Kettler, he's another one of the hosts on Crashcast. Really good helicopter pilot. The guy's really good, and so we hand him this thing, and he's probably, I'd say, 400 or 500 yards away flying this thing line of sight.
Oh, jeez.
My eyes hurt thinking about it.
It's like a dot. How are you doing that?
Wow.
He's just like, you just got to feel it. You just got to know where it's going.
Oh, my God.
It's a dot. How do you know where
the right. Yeah,
exactly
right.
Orientation?
He probably didn't really know. He was just guessing. Yeah, you know.
If he didn't have orientation on that, he
would have lost it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's one cool dude because he not a drip of sweat. He just calm could be flying it around. So we had him fly it in the noontime demo. And I said, I got one request. I don't care what point you do it, just drive it into the ground as hard as you can. And he kind of stops and he looks at me and he's like, no, really? I'm like, yeah, seriously. I want you to just pile it into the ground as hard as you can.
Yeah.
I say, no. It'll look like a fool. I'll have Mike announce on, you know, I've announced that you're going to crash it on purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, are you sure? Yeah, I'm sure. Do it. So he did. And the ESC is two of the programming leads. One of the props had busted and hit the programming leads. So we couldn't do a prop change and get it back up real quick. Oh. We had to change out the programming lead.
Yeah.
But our booth was only about 20 feet away, so we took it over there real quick, taped up programming lead, threw new props on it, and had it out there hovering within about 3 minutes.
Oh, that's funny.
That's great. So,
wow.
And that's kind of how everything started, you know, just really it's kind of made its own reputation just by letting people fly it and let them beat it up and just have fun with it. And Mikey Bixler was so enthused when he got to fly, and he just the smile that was on his face. Mm-hmm. I didn't even think about it. I just walked back to my tent, grabbed a kit, said, "Here you go, buddy."
Yeah.
Ops,
yeah.
And gave him the kit. And I guess he's lost a couple of pieces. I'm not sure exactly what.
Probably banging it on around the fire. Probably some pieces pulled out of the bag.
That's what it was. He got it out and he was playing, you know, messing around with it.
Yeah.
I guess he lost
just like any kid would.
Yeah. You probably sold a few kits the next day just from that, from him just smashing it into the ground, you know, just the frame
the
part.
The demos alone. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He had fun with it. And I told Jen, she talked to me on Facebook, and I told her, I said, well, just give me your address and I'll go ahead and I'll send off the parts you need. Just tell me what you need. Give me your address and I'll get you the parts.
That's great.
She's like, no, I'm going to buy it. And I'm like, no, really, it's okay. And she, no, I'm going to buy it. Okay. Not going to argue with you.
Yeah. Don't argue with Jen.
I'm married. I know better.
Yeah.
Now, can you buy each part separately on your webpage? I didn't navigate through it. Or is there some that are in like kit, you know, like little bags and stuff organized together?
Not yet. We're still kind of putting everything together.
Sure.
You know, putting the site together and trying to grow everything. But yes, all of the parts will be available individually.
Okay.
You know, so you can like mix and match and like put stuff together differently if you want to. I've actually put one together with shorter standoffs. It looks kind of neat. You know, if you got a little tiny camera in it, you know, you get that real low profile. But then you got to put your battery either on the bottom or on the top. So your battery is no longer protected.
Okay.
Hmm. Awesome. Anybody else have, you have any other questions for Mark or anything? Nothing? Andre?
I'm good. I guess actually the one last question I could see, if you're really keen on the whole training design, maybe some prop guards on a model?
Well, the only problem with the prop guards, I mean, on a different model, it would be okay. The problem with prop guards is this thing is fairly heavy. It's it's 500 and 560 grams all up weight.
Yeah.
So the prop guards would have to be massive.
Understood. Yeah. Understood. So
that's where the prop guards really shine is on the you know, the real super lightweight two cell style, and we wanted to be able to design this that, I mean, you can get crazy. I've seen people put 2208s on here and run them on six cell.
Wow.
It's insane.
Is there a way to put some type of guard to keep the prop from bending down into the motor? Is there any ideas floating around that possibly, so that wouldn't hang it up? I don't know, I'm just asking. I didn't know. To prevent it from flexing
really
too much or over flexing.
I never really thought of it because it's never happened until Chris.
Chris, so
he was the one
special talent to do that. So,
You know,
all right. If it doesn't happen often, then there's no need for that.
If you want to fly one, I know a guy that's right there, real close to you, that's got one.
I already told him, Mark. I said, as soon as this thing, you are going to be the first tester.
No, and I said, Wayne is going to be the first one to test anything. I want everyone to enjoy it before it gets into my hands. That's for sure.
Yo, dude. Yeah, don't stress it, man. If you break it, just let me know. I'll send you.
See there, Mike? You're first on the list, buddy.
No, I am not flying it first. I'll tell you right now.
Guaranteed, man. It's right there on the site. They're guaranteed. You break it, just send you a new one.
Mike doesn't have a problem breaking.
Yeah.
He's a problem with them flying away.
Yeah.
That's a bad one.
You guys set up a throttle cut, right?
Yeah, we can do that.
Zone.
Yeah, just get with me I don't know if you know how to do it or not, Chris, but when you go to set that the flight controller up, if you don't know how to do it, just get with me and I'll walk you through base flight or clean flight or whatever you run on there. And
yeah, I may, once we get it ready to go, I may just get your settings off of you, I think, because I really liked how it was flying.
Configured.
Yeah, it flew fantastic.
I actually tamed that down a lot. Because I knew there was going to be young kids flying it.
Uh-huh.
So I tamed it down quite a bit.
Wow.
The yaw rate is almost always, for me, is almost always turned at least 3/4 of the way up.
Uh-huh.
My first quad that I ever flew was the big, you know, bat bone V-tail, the A-tail.
Uh-huh.
And I love that massive yaw authority. And so when I'm flying a regular, you know, X or, you know, close to an X-style quad, I like to have the yaw turned way up so that I can get that kind of snappy feel to it.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see after a while, you know, since it is so durable, most everything I have actually now, like you said, Mark, is it's pretty tame. I don't do anything drastic, but where this, I could turn it up some and play around with it and see what, you know, you could really get into. And, you know, yeah. Wayne and I, we've talked about that, too, with, building these little 250 racers that, you know, obviously we're going to set them up FPV, but just, you know, chase each other around, and then who cares? You know, you run into each other or smash into the tree.
It sounds like
it'd
be really good to have at Chad's place when he's banging. He's always pushing the limits
right.
with me. I'm like, oh, that would be a great platform for me to say, okay, let's push these limits, Chad. Have him in his normal one that he's always repairing and then get me after him.
Exactly.
That'd be great.
Exactly. Yeah,
they work really good when you've another thing that this quad is really good for is, you know, you go to a flying event and you get these guys that are flying these great big DJI and they'll be hovering like almost straight over your head.
Mm-hmm.
That makes me feel a little uncomfortable. I don't like that. So I'll just put one of these things in the air and go up and hover right next to it. Nervous, fly away.
Oh, that's funny.
I mean, what are they going to do?
It's a great deterrent.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
That's great. I put one of these into combats at CEF. Put them in combat. Every flying I've been to with them, they've been in at least one combat.
I wonder if it'd be an option if we could do a multi-copter combat with something like this. You get about 6 or 7 or 8 or 10 or whatever. I wonder what would happen.
Who would
survive? Like 5 hours up the road from you. Let me know
when. Yeah. That could be rather interesting,
really cool.
Huh?
Yes.
That would be a blast.
Yeah, that's
FPV
something.
Combat.
Yeah, FPV combat. That would be cool.
That would be a riot.
I'm going to make that in my little notebook here. Write that down. Awesome. Well, Mark, I know we've kept you over an hour here. It's fantastic to talk to you. If you're more than welcome, I just had a couple things I wanted to talk to the guys about. You're more than welcome to just hang out with us here. Shouldn't be much longer. But for everybody out there, please go check out multirc.com.
No doubt.
If it's not a testament of what we talked about tonight, I mean, just buy one. I promise you that it will not disappoint. Unbelievable. So, Mark, I got to thank you for coming on, hanging out with us, and telling us all about it. And hopefully stay in touch, and I'm excited to see what you got coming down the pipe, too.
Oh, yeah, we'll stay in touch, no problem. I appreciate you guys having me on here and give me the chance to talk a little bit about this thing. I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, it sounds like you just need the exposure at this point because the product's proven itself. So.
Right. And
that's great you were able to join us.
If people have any questions, you go on YouTube and just do a search on YouTube for HMB 235 and you'll get, I mean, you'll get some Bluetooth stuff too, but you get a lot of the videos of the frame, and most people are beating the crap out of it.
Yeah.
That's great.
And loving it. It's like the redheaded stepchild.
Yeah, you get to beat and not have to worry about it.
Oh, fantastic.
It's a blast, man. I love this thing, and I love getting people to fly it and seeing the reaction on their face and just watching them have fun. That to me, that's is priceless. Better than flying itself.
Yeah, I agree with you. I was more impressed just watching the reactions of everybody when, you know, flying it and smashing it into the ground. Going,
their jaws drop. Yeah, like, no, it didn't, I just break. Destroyed it. And then the satisfaction after
exactly.
The fact that, oh, my gosh.
That was just awesome.
Yeah, I appreciate you, you know, giving me some time to get on here and talk about it.
Oh, absolutely.
Glad you guys like the quad.
Yes.
We'll definitely stay in touch and keep you in the loop of what we got coming. You know, and like I said, you guys hit me up on Facebook. Let me know you're around. And as we introduce more quads, you guys want to test one out, just give me a holler. I'll hook you up.
All right. You hear
roughly
that, Mike?
Nice, yeah. Sounds great.
All right. Hey, just before we get out, just a couple things I wanted to touch real quick. Mike. You finally have listened, and you purchased a 3D plane, right?
Yes, so, Twisted Hobbies.
Yeah, what'd you get?
I can't. You probably know the name better than I do.
I think you got
it's the one they did
the,
a laser,
the
or
crack,
laser
yeah, light laser
correct.
Kit. Yeah,
correct.
So you're working on that, getting it together.
And I'm
huh?
so slow. People would have been done with this, but although to my testament or whatever, the glue says 24-hour dry period.
Yeah.
So that's kind of tied my feet down a little bit in the build process. But
using
I'm
the
actually
welders.
Enjoying building this. For
it's
some
not a
reason,
bad build.
No, I'm sure it's easy for a lot of people, but I'm there's some steps on it I've been done
right.
and techniques, but I was telling a guy at work, he's like, oh, that's an old technique with the thread and the CA glue on an elbow
landing.
Joint
yep.
And I'm like, man, that was a great technique I never had exposure to. And I guess it's been out there for a while, but it's super strong. I mean, no doubt in my mind that landing gear is getting hold up with that elbow.
And were the hinges and everything all beveled for you already, or did you?
Yes.
Have,
oh,
that's
thank
nice.
God. I am the worst at cutting beveled edges. I even tried buying a cutting tool for it, and it didn't work real well as much as I hope. I'm still better freehanding it, but... I'm always dreading that part of the any build is
I know.
Cutting the beveled edges. I don't want to cut that paper. You
I know.
Know? It's like,
me too.
But I'm in the build process. I'm about halfway through it right now. But it's going along. I mean, it's going along pretty well. So and in fact, Andre wanted a picture. I'm like, well, I'm really not that far to see much. But here you go, buddy. Here's a picture of where I'm at with it. So.
And what I like about
Mr. Instagram,
the Twisted Hobby Planes is you don't have to cut out all the little tiny carbon fiber support rods and glue them all through the. Their planes don't have them. They put another piece of like EPP triangle foam like down along the edge of their frames and everything. And there's no support. You know, the little carbon fiber support, which is so nice when you're building it. And then even when you fly it and you hit the ground or you hit bump into something, a lot of times they'll pull out and you got to re-glue them. So I really like their airplanes. And they fly. I mean,
it seems like it's going to be a really good product. I mean, even as I'm building it, I think, I mean, I'm not straying from the instructions at all. I'm like, you know what? They probably did some pretty good research and homework on this thing.
And
so
I don't know what it is. Twisted Hobby, their EPP foam is a little different than everybody else's. I don't know if you've happened to notice.
Well, I had to flex some of the beveled edges. Mm-hmm. I flexed them for an hour, like put a book on or whatever, and they said to do that in instructions. But it does feel a little different
than
what I'm
different.
Used to.
It's different, yeah. It's a little bit, I don't know if it's more dense or something, but it holds up a little bit better than regular.
I can't
EPP.
Wait to get
this
thing in the air, so I'm excited
Me
about
too.
That.
Me too. Me too. My luck, you're going to get it together, and I'm going to fly it and then end up buying one. I have that bad feeling.
Well, don't you have it? What brand was yours that they don't make anymore?
3D Hobby Shop, the Extra 300, which again, it's
so
fantastic.
You're really excited about the one I'm building, though. Really?
Yeah, I've been on the fence of buying one. Yeah, that's why
I trusted your opinion. I'm glad you did all the research for me, because I'm like, I looked at a little bit larger one. I went to a 3-cell. He's like, what? The 2 cells are cheap enough. Just get this. And after reading the whole section on how they designed it and stuff, I'm like, wow, they put some homework on this. So.
Yeah.
Plus, I trust your opinion. Anyways, I'm like, I'm going to go with that one.
Yeah,
so.
Been trying to get Andre to get one too, but the shipping up there,
it's killing him.
I know.
Well, I mean, I've ordered something, so we'll be flying eventually. So.
I mean,
you mentioned you were going to be in New York in August. What dates was you looking around?
I don't know yet. We're we might go for a little family trip there, so we'll see. But I popped in. I bought an $18 one from Hobby King just for kicks. I've got the servos and the ESCs and the motors, so it's EPP as well. So we'll see. I figured for $18 because I needed to get some ESCs for my FPV, the Video Aerial Systems Wraith. I wanted to get some 40-amp ESCs, so I'm like, oh well, I'll just put that into the order.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. I'm curious to see how that one flies too.
I had a couple offers. Another gentleman, Jason, up in Toronto, and he made a really good offer on a design he has. He was another one of the Radian guys at Flyfest, and I just said, for the shipping and everything, it was still cheaper for me to order from Hobby King.
Wow.
So I just went with that path.
Yeah.
And I'll for $18, I'll let everybody know.
Yeah. Yay or nay.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to tell you too that I was with Chad. He bought a Solo.
He did?
Yeah, he went to Best Buy and purchased one.
No.
Did he get the warranty?
I don't know what he's got on.
Yeah, he better got the warranty.
I don't know what he's got on, but he showed me some. It's really cool, some of the things he's doing.
Uh-huh.
He was swirling around because he built a new in-ground pool.
Yeah, yeah.
He was swirling around.
Doing the orbit feature, yeah.
And he has a software that you can make 3D, like a 3D image of all the pictures it takes.
Oh, really?
And he did that at the one place, and it was all 3D images. So you could actually put like a flight simulation field or there's endless aspects. But the 3D image that he got from his hacks was pretty awesome. The software was able to take all those pictures and actual 3D design of like the factory and stuff.
Oh,
it was pretty cool. There's a lot of cool things out there. I was just happy to be exposed and watching over his shoulder while he was doing stuff.
Yeah.
He was trying to learn how to put waypoints in his hex. And we were having problems with that because he wanted to actually set it at certain points too.
Yep.
But and I guess there's all kind of support for Bluetooth-wise. It works great, but he has the hardwire, and we were trying to figure out how to set waypoints with the hardwire application. But anyways, just a little off.
Yeah.
I was kind of shocked. I'm like, yeah, we talked about that thing like a couple weeks
ago.
Well,
that's funny that you said that.
I couldn't believe he had one.
I think somebody posted something on Facebook, and Andre was kind of like, well, we had our reservations about the Solo. And I think the first one in there was Chad. Okay, let's hear all about it. I want to know.
Yep.
You know, and then he ended up buying one.
Yes. Yeah, I was surprised by it. Now, I didn't have, I don't think it had the, was it the gimbal
and
that package. It was more of a base package.
Yeah, the gimbal's not out yet.
So,
yeah.
It looked pretty sleek and pretty cool when I saw it. And he already did imaging with it. I didn't see it in flight, but I saw it in his basement there. Well,
there
we
go. Now we have access to a long term demo.
Yeah.
Tell him he has to be on the next show so we can grill him about it.
Yeah, you know what? I've been trying to get him in here, and he's so busy at this time. Like in the evenings, usually works later. Yeah.
Right.
But I've pressed on him the past four or five. I'm like, we're doing a podcast here. We're doing it because I would really like to get him in and share some of his stories. He's always exposed to some neat things.
Yeah.
I'm sure he could talk about.
I know he's mentioned too, like
more detail
on Saturdays, like morning. He said he wouldn't mind coming up, getting breakfast, coming in and talking. So we'll get him.
You probably have a better shot at that.
Yeah.
I think so too.
Yeah. We'll get him in here.
But don't be eating into my flight time.
No.
I'm teasing. Make sure it's a rainy day.
The only other thing, Andre, I wanted to ask you, just because I thought it was funny, you sent me an email of a Chinese company, said that they had a camera and they wanted you to test it out. And you were like, is this legit? And I was like, there is no way. It's got to be some kind of spam.
Nobody would give Andre something.
Like, you know, but yeah, it turned out to be a real company. So tell us about that.
Well, we couldn't believe it. And I had my reservations when it all came in, but this is from the website's called GearBest, and this camera is the Soco C10.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm going to be doing a review. Look for it on the Facebook forum this weekend. I'll shoot with it. It's very much like my little JS4000. Actually, the menuing and everything is exactly the same. But it will do 720 at 60 frames per second, which is really nice. So it's my first, it'll be my first exposure to 60 frames a second. It does 1080 at 30 frames, which is pretty standard, and it does have the built-in Wi-Fi.
Uh huh.
So I was sitting there last night, filling around with it, and using my tablet, my iPhone, and I can I can control it and remote start and stop. So a little laggy for the Wi-Fi. So it's. You probably have seen the same thing with some of the other, like the Ominous and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Where you can't really fly the Wi-Fi, but you can start and stop the camera, or you can take still pictures, so you could do your selfie. But yes, there's a camera in my hand, you know, and so I'm going to do my very first, you know, non-purchase product review this weekend, which is kind of terrifying and exciting all at the same time. But yeah, it was one of those things. I guess they had read my I did an article on my first my SA4000 action camera on flight test, and an article on in the forum post, and they came back and said, hey, you're interested in doing our product. So I was at first very leery because some of the early shots, you're looking at it and like, things like the SD card slot look really unpolished, but the model I've got is, you know, it's got a full hard case for underwater. It's got the back case so you can get the more sound into it.
Mm-hmm.
And all the mounts and clips and everything are there. So it's crazy that someone's willing to, you know, lend me talk about their product. It's kind of scary and funny all at the same time. So
yeah,
and they sent along a product coupon, so once I post that, you know, it'll be a discounted price, I guess. So we'll see where the future goes, but it's you know, I'll give it my professional one up, and I'm gonna put it up against the 4000, and I also have a GoPro 960, so we'll do a bet side to side. I'm actually thinking about strapping all three cameras onto my tricopter.
Oh yeah, with it. There you go.
And you know, just so you can see the lens differences, because I mean, that's where the that's where the difference is. And,
yeah.
You know, it's an $80 camera.
That's what I was going to ask you. What the $80.
You know, and hey, you know, I love my GoPro, but that thing has been, you know, that thing's been crashed like what, twice now.
Yeah.
Three times if you include the cargo plane going down.
Right.
Well, at least you still have yours.
it's crashed now 4 times officially because there's the rooftop.
Inside. Yeah, I remember that one. I think we all remember that one.
So it's going to be interesting because, I mean, so far, I mean, like I said, I started off really hesitant and I'm looking at it going, no, the menus are almost the same as what I'm used to with my other camera. And I've been using my 4000 now for a year to do all my little Friday flying updates. So
the software is pretty user friendly to get it going.
Oh, yeah.
That's good.
You bump through the modes, you go through the menus. I had it up and running in a couple of minutes and then like you hold down on the power button and you go into Wi-Fi mode and you log into it. You know, there's a generic user number a password, and there it is on my tablet or my iPhone, and you can sit there and snap the photos. So
did it have an English manual?
Yes.
Okay.
You know, it came with everything and the packages is all there. The only difference between that one and my SJ4000 package was the SJ came with a nice mount that you can just put the camera into without the hard, you know, the underwater case, which is what I use when I shoot all my videos rather than being inside the hard case. But I should strap this thing on top of the car and go for a good, nice drive or something. But I want to go fly with it because that's for the community that we're in, you know, flying is the biggest aspect. So I want to see how that the wide angle lens and everything looks. And
strap all three to your roof of your car first, then fly.
Yeah, I could do that. But if this thing turns out to be a really nice camera at 60 frames, I might just start shooting everything I do at 720 versus 1080 because I think my GoPro will do 720. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just shoot everything at 720, and then I'll actually for the first time have a 60 frame camera. And I know, like David always mentioned, that he loved the 60 frame for this the smoothness that you get when you're flying.
Yeah.
So. That'll be kind of nice because I really, really, really haven't met my goal this year of doing any aerial cinematography, but it's mainly because every single flying copter right now is down. I was out with the tricopter because I was after I'd popped the motor mount on the 250, I had the tricopter out, and I got a little cocky with the trees and busted up my props, trimming the trees with them.
I've seen that.
Yeah, but it was good. It was just good to fly that thing again. It had been a while, and I was burning off the batteries because I had a bunch of my bigger batteries I had taken to Flight Fest with me for the Sky Mule. So I was like, oh, I better run these down before they, that way I can put them all in the storage mode.
Yeah.
And I spent the entire time in acro mode. So I was really working my thumbs to not stay there in auto level. So, yeah. So.
Awesome. Well, when you're out there in acro mode, Andre, just you know, remember me when I was at DR1 flying the DR1 with all around those people in full acro mode.
I know Chad was trying to get a DR1 flying at Flight Fest. He had all the electronics, everything in it,
yeah,
but it wasn't set up yet. Oh. He's like, can you find someone to just set this thing up real quick?
Well, I wonder what happened to like one of the originals that they had on the set.
Oh, I don't know. This was a different one made out of newer material.
Oh, yeah,
I don't know what materials they used to make this.
That would have been cool if you would have brought out original DR1 and cranked it around.
I'm not sure why he didn't, but...
That would have been so awesome.
That would have been... When I saw him pull out of the car, I'm like, yes. You know, I'm thinking it's going to go. But
when we get him on here, we'll have to ask him about that. Yeah,
definitely.
All right, hey, one very last thing. I'm going to throw this out here. I don't know if I should, but I'm going to throw it out here anyway. I know, Andre, you kind of been pushing a little bit about possibly making some FT after-hours shirts.
Yeah.
I actually said something to Bixler yesterday about it, and he was kind of all for it. Said, yeah, what, you know, get a design or whatever, and we'll get some, maybe get some made up. So anybody listening out there, first of all, would anybody buy any after-hours shirts? I don't know. But if that's something maybe that you're interested in, shoot me an email.
I would, because I have holes in my other regular shirts.
The second thing is, I really don't have much of a creative mind whatsoever. So if there's anybody out there that likes to design and create, if you come up with an FT After Hours logo, send it to me. Email me at chris@flighttest.com. Now, there's one stipulation. It must have a glider on it of some sort.
Yeah.
That's the only stipulation. Other than that, I think it's pretty free reign. So
I was manipulating that photo of us from Flight Fest with us with the radiance and trying to do a little black and white thing.
Oh, were you?
I haven't quite got there. It's been a busy work week doing my real job.
Yeah, I hear you.
The way you eat up Instagram, I thought Instagram was your real job.
Social media.
Junkie, aren't you? Holy smoke. I get late at night and I'm like, I'm thinking, I better tell him I'm going to bed, or I'll just power off my phone, because I'm like, man, this guy doesn't sleep.
I do. But no, it's the fun part of all this, of course, is we got friends all over the world, so it's When the messaging pops up, you know, people in overseas, you know, saying, hi, how you doing? I'm going to bed.
I know. Yeah, exactly. That's what my wife says every now, you know, I've had to put the no disturb on my phone because, you know, at 3 o'clock in the morning.
She was threatening to throw mine out the window right at like 2 a.m. Yeah. She's like, I'm throwing it out the window right now. Yeah, she was not kidding.
Right. The emails come rolling in. My wife's like, who's emailing you at 2 o'clock in the morning?
It's Jake from State Farm. He's wearing khaki pants.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. All right, on that note, I think
That's a commercial. I don't know if you see it, Andre, in Canada, but it's a funny commercial that an insurance company does.
Oh, that was fun. Good time. I think we're going to get out of here. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Mike, Wayne, Andre, Mark, if you're still hanging in there.
And it looked like before we completely wrap up, it looked like you said, I saw on Instagram that your David got his Radian repaired.
Yes.
Is that the one that with the broken nose?
That's the one that thundered in when he had the lockup. I talked to him last night because he linked me on Facebook on a video, and I said, well, fantastic. I'm glad you put it back together. He said he changed out, he picked up that new receiver, the new Lemon receiver with the satellite.
Yes, I remember. That was at Flight Fest he picked that up, right? Yeah, because he had binding issues.
The motor still worked.
Wow.
So that's the same motor. So he's all happy that it went back up. So
it looked
good.
Nice in the sky, whoever took those pictures, I know. Yeah. It looked really nice.
I think it was just a ground video. And even I got out on Tuesday, I think, or Monday or Tuesday with my little UMX Radiant. I was beaming around. Actually, I was using up that one battery I still had power in from Flight Fest.
Oh, my gosh.
And I got way up there, and I took some really nice shots. I mean, you can just see the little speck, you know, in the cloud, and I just had that beautiful backdrop of the sun and clouds and everything. So,
I did see that. It was a pretty cool picture.
That's pretty fun. So,
all right. Sorry all right. to interrupt.
Yeah, that's all right. What do you say? You ready to get out of here?
Oh, yeah. I'm done.
Yep, me too. It's food time.
Yep.
Oh, yes.
Well, for some of us, I think somebody already ate and had their coffee, but
No, I just got my coffee.
Oh, okay. No. All right.
I'm starving now.
I hear you. I'm right there
with
you.
Is milk and honey open?
Yeah. Mike's going to be around the corner at Menchie's here in about 5 minutes. So, all right. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Now I can't even talk. Thanks for listening. I think the next one we're going to record, maybe we'll get into the crash stories and finally get that one out there. And other than that, see what happens. Hopefully, we got to get out and get some flying in. Man.
I've been trying. I invited you guys to go to Chad Saturday. I know. You were busy. You were at the park. So
I know. So we'll get out there soon, I promise. Other than that, we'll see you guys in a couple weeks.
See ya.
See you guys.
Bye.
Later.